Hi, I'm Conchetta Green, and today's leadership quote is from Oprah Winfrey. Love is in the details.
The Leader Assistant podcast exists to encourage and challenge assistants to become confident, game-changing leader assistants.
Are you tasked with ordering food for your office? Let me tell you about EasyCater. With over 100,000 restaurants to choose from nationwide and 24/7 customer support, EasyCater helps assistants like you and me succeed at work and makes our lives easier. Visit easycater.com/leaderassistant to find out more. Hey friends, welcome to the Leader Assistant Podcast. It's your host, Jeremy Burrows, and this is episode 238. And today I'm very excited to be speaking with Conchetta Green. Conchetta is a proud native of Boston, Massachusetts, and she's the chief of staff at Harvard Business Publishing. Conchetta, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Awesome. So you're in Boston. What's your favorite part about Boston?
Oh my gosh, my favorite part about Boston is the fact that you have the old and the new right up against each other every day, all the time. Like literally the Paul Revere House is right next to skyscrapers. Like that's the perfect picture of Boston.
Nice, nice. And what is your favorite meal? Your like classic favorite Boston meal?
You know what? I should be able to say clam chowder, but I just developed a clam allergy, so I can't say that. So I think I'll say lobster.
Lobster, nice, nice. Well, I'm really excited to have you on the show, and I wanted to hear a little bit of your story first of all. So what, take us back to the beginning of your career and tell us a little bit about how you got into the assistant executive assistant, office manager role, and then we'll work our way back to the current day where you're now chief of staff. So tell us a little bit about how you became an assistant initially.
Sure. Well, it's kind of a funny story. I never imagined myself working in corporate. I actually always thought I would just be a singer and I'd be on tour. But, you know, you go to college and you realize, wait, I have to pay for this now. And I had to get a job. And so my mom was a career secretary. That's what they called assistants at the time. No disrespect to anyone. But my mom was a career secretary. One of my aunts was as well. And so they said, well, why don't you just try this? Just try this for a while. Like, it'll be like really good bread and butter. And what I found over time is that I was actually good at it. Like I liked it. I enjoyed it. So my first job out of college was at a law firm. I didn't know anything about law. I did not study law in college. I went to Emerson for like speech pathology because that was like the closest thing to music that my parents were willing to sign on for.
Nice.
And so I know, right? So I worked there. I learned under a lot of really seasoned assistants and paralegals. And what I found is that those skills ended up being super transferable, and they really blessed me and allowed me to work in a lot of different industries. So I think I went from there to working at a recording studio for commercials in our city. And then, let's see, I did legal again for a while. I spent some time in higher ed as well. So my path has really just been, listen, I'm here to help. I can organize. I can get people together. But what's interesting to me sort of right now, and that sort of dictated what industry I've played in for a bit.
Nice. Yeah, that's one of my favorite parts about the assistant role as well, is just the fact that our skills are transferable across company size, company industry, executive temperament, all the things.
Yes. And I found that if you're good at, so personally, I can do a lot of things well. I have a lot of interests. You know, I do deep dives on YouTube. I love to read books. I love talking to people. So, you know, event planning, painting, writing, all the things, right? I love those things in my personal life. So what I found is that I can bring elements of all those things to whatever job I'm working at. And it always ends up making that place better. So if I can go to a job, leave it better than I found it, I'm doing well.
Nice, nice. So what's been maybe one of the either funny or crazy or scary stories in your career as an assistant that you would like to share? Just one little snapshot of a time during your career.
Oh, do you just want scary, or do you want the scary to lead to someplace good?
Oh, it doesn't have to lead to something good. It doesn't have to have a happy ending. That's all right.
Oh, you know, what can I tell you? No, that one might be too scary. You want something funny? I don't know. Maybe I need a little bit more context.
Tell me the two scary ones. Just tell me what you're thinking. What came to your mind?
Okay, so there was a time I worked in a place, and there was a higher up who was known for being a hothead. And they made a comment not far from where I was, threatening to harm a lot of people in the office one day.
Wow.
Exactly. Immediate eyebrows. Also, like, I just immediately froze because I was thinking, I don't know if this is a joke and I don't know if it's serious, but this is on the news way too much for someone to be yelling this in an office. And so I privately reported it to HR as is proper. Mm-hmm. And that person was relocated to a different part of the office. But it did change things for me in the office because I learned that confidentiality actually wasn't a thing in that space. Mm. So I wasn't treated so great after that. It took me a while to kind of put two and two together. But yeah, that was a crazy time. Wow. And realizing that I wasn't valued, my safety concerns, you know, weren't taken seriously. Obviously, that was a major red flag for me. I could have chosen to stay. I could have chosen to brush it off. But for me, that was a red flag enough to say, you know what? I think I would do better in a space where people value safety a lot more. Hmm. Well, yeah. That's the first thing that came to mind when you asked about crazy. That was crazy.
Wow. Yeah, it's tough because, you know, it's like oftentimes we put so much of our personal worth and our personal value and identity on our job. And so it can make us tentative to do the right thing, like report those types of scenarios or, you know, stand up for what's right because we fear that we're going to lose the job and we've attached, like I said, our identity and our job. And so that can definitely be a challenging situation to be in.
I mean, it can be, absolutely. But I think it made me reevaluate the commitment and the relationship that I had with that company as an employee, which I think in the end was a good thing. I think it was a good learning experience after all, because I wanted to be in a place where the employer was as committed to my well-being as I was committed to the company's well-being.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel that it was reciprocal in that moment at all. So to me, you know, that's something that I look out for now. How committed is a company to my well-being? Is it reciprocal? Because it is a relationship and it should be a healthy one.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, you mentioned in when we talked about doing the episode and I asked for some topics, you mentioned that you're a recovering workaholic. So on the topic of just, you know, having maybe potentially an unhealthy relationship with work, tell us a little bit about your journey of being a workaholic and coming out of that world and that mindset. And what have you done to maybe resist that tendency in yourself?
Yeah. So I'm an oldest child. So I like things to be done a certain way. I like there to be order, but I'm also not super rigid, right? I said I'm a creative, so that comes with all kinds of fun stuff too. I'm not, inflexible, but I do like to do a good job. That's just a part of who I am. If you give me something, I want to make it better. If you give me problems, let's try to solve them as best as we can to improve efficiency and effectiveness. You'll always hear me say that. And I think that that comes from that quote that I shared with you about love being in the details. My team hears me say it all the time. I bring it into everything that I do. So I genuinely care about my team. I care about our product. It's a reflection, I think, of our relationship. So I think at times I focus too much on, hey, like, how do we make it better and better and better? And, not really watching the clock. It's like, 6, 7, getting a little late. Okay, maybe you should sleep. What have I done? So, and I'll give you another example just outside of work. I helped a friend of mine ghostwrite their book. And they were on a really tight deadline, really impossible deadline. Let's say it was about a month. I said, yes, I'll help you knock it out. And I probably didn't sleep much for about a week. Not sure if I showered. This is between you and I, so don't tell anybody.
That's right. Nobody's listening. Nobody's listening.
That's fine. And we got it done. But it's simply because I cared. So what did I learn from that? I learned, yes, showers are important. Also, maybe building in better timelines, right? So that I'm also being mindful to respect my time and my need to have some space to recharge so that I can be fresh to do a great job. So that's where I am now. I think I do a much better job of saying, okay, I've put in a lot. I can do extra, but there is a cutoff. If I feel that I need to make sure that I eat, I need to make sure that I get up. I'm a hybrid employee, so I spend a good deal of time working remotely, and I'm not the kind of person that slacks off. If anything, the company tends to get a little bit more out of me. And so I have to build in some parameters to say, no, this is where it ends, and this is where my personal life begins.
Yeah. Yeah, well said. Kind of related to this, talk about showing up as your authentic self. You mentioned to me, you're a Black professional, you're warm and proficient, and you're often, or I guess maybe always, the only Black person in the boardroom weekly, you mentioned. And I quote, yeah. And so tell us a little bit about that and what you've learned and maybe the challenges you face and how you've overcome, showing up as your authentic self.
Sure. So, after the death of George Floyd, January 6th, all these major events, in the United States, it gave me time to reflect on, what have I been doing? How have I been showing up in corporate spaces? And at the time, before all of these events happened, I didn't realize how much I was changing myself to fit into whatever company I was in. So, for example, my hair, with African-American people, our hair is naturally curly. If you perm it, it's straight. So I was constantly perming my hair, keeping it straight because I was trained. That's how you look professional. That's how you look sharp. And so when things started changing in our country and I really had time to sit back and evaluate, well, what's my part? How am I showing up? How am I helping people who are coming up behind me to see, how you should lead as an assistant? I realized I was not being authentic just with my hair. It's such a personal part of who you are. And so I started wearing braids. I started wearing faux locks, and initially I got a lot of commentary at that particular job. Like, whoa, you look really different today. How did you get your hair that long? And I'm like, well, we're not going to go into a whole YouTube tutorial here, but thanks for the appreciation. But, That might seem like a small thing, but for Black women, our hair is such a big part of our identity, our experience. We spend months and weeks planning ahead, you know, how's my hair going to look for this trip? You know, how do I show up here? And people do look at you differently depending on what's going on. And so it's really important to be centered in yourself, grounded in yourself, confident in your skills and your abilities so that that does not ever become a distraction to yourself, number one, and you don't allow it to be a distraction for the people that you're working with. I'm fortunate to be at a place now where differences are celebrated, diversity is encouraged. And yes, I might be the only Black woman in the boardroom, but I am surrounded by a team of executives who really do genuinely care about getting things right. And so it shows up in our personal relationships, and that feeling of support, it's made all the difference for me personally. It's given me a great deal of confidence.
That's great. That's great to hear. Any tips? Any tips for assistants listening who are, struggling to be themselves at work?
Sure. I would say, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to be yourself, because being yourself means you show some vulnerability. Sometimes maybe you say words a little different. Sometimes I say, ain't, can't, I have family members from the South. So sometimes you might get a little twang depending on what side of me you poke. sometimes I might speak straight. Sometimes if I'm in a room full of Bostonians, you'll hear a little bit of Boston, you'll get a little bit of all of that. So it's okay to meet the moment. When being yourself, I think it's okay to meet the moment. We are not just black and white internally. Internally, we are a spectrum full of color. And so whatever color you decide to show that day is fine. I think as long as your morals, your integrity, and your personality are intact and consistent, I think those other things can change, and you can be a colorful person and still be professional and respected.
Love it. You said meet the moment. Is that what you said?
Meet the moment.
I love that. I love that phrase. Yeah. Meet the moment.
Sometimes the moment needs a hug. Sometimes the moment needs a spreadsheet.
Amen to that.
Amen.
Oh, love it. Well, what about ambiguity and diving headfirst into kind of the unknown? But then yet as assistants, trying to emerge with answers and a plan and all that.
Are you ready to elevate your career in 2024? I'm Maggie Olson, founder of Nova Chief of Staff Certification, the first of its kind online course for aspiring and existing chiefs of staff. With curriculum taken directly from on-the-job responsibilities, Nova's self-paced learning modules provides you with hands-on experience so you can feel competent and confident moving into a chief of staff style role. It's the perfect next step for executive assistants. Head to leaderassistant.com/Nova to learn more, grab the syllabus, and enroll today.
Yeah, I think a big part of being successful as an admin, and I can speak from my own experience, is being able to handle ambiguity. The way I approach it is by listening. I try to listen. In meeting the moment, it really requires listening. I try to listen more than I talk. I try to make sure that I'm not a busybody, that I'm not a gossip, but I'm really listening. I'm reading the room. I'm elevating my emotional intelligence to hear what are the truest needs in this meeting, right? Is someone not hearing someone? Is someone not listening? Is someone unable to communicate their truest desires? So that's been my approach to ambiguity. I think it's helpful. I found it to be helpful. And then really rooting down to see, okay, well, what can we do? What are the facts? And how do we get to where you want to be?
Yeah, that's great. So what about, let's talk transition a little bit or piggyback off of that with your title. You're executive assistant and you were supported CEO, and then now you're the chief of staff.
Yes.
Did you have a little bit of ambiguity in the title change, or was that a very intentional thing that you're like, hey, I want to be a chief of staff? Tell us a little bit about that transition.
Interesting. One second.
No problem.
Turns out I can turn off my notifications, but I'm so sorry. Here we go. So changes with my job. So when I came on to support an acting CEO at my current company. And so I supported that person for a year. And then there was a search and a different person was hired. And so I became EA to the second CEO in that second year. So there has been a lot of ambiguity in transition, you know, in these 2 years. And there's been a lot of meeting the moment, you know, managing expectations, communications, things like that. So the scope of my role, I think, has grown tremendously. And there was a change to the structure of our organization. And my current CEO said, listen, you can't just sit here with the EA title. That does not encompass everything that you touch here in this company, because you touch a little bit of everything and you always have an impact. So let's talk about what titles make sense. And so we had several conversations. That title came up. There's no way I was going to say no. I'm like, no, yes. That does make sense because it's managing so many diverse projects. And, you know, as an EA, we often live in a sort of purgatory of organizations. It's sort of this gray space. You're not the CEO. You are not the receptionist, but you have to make sure that both ends of the organization are able to touch one another, hear one another, understand one another. So it's a unique space and I'm really grateful for it. I'm grateful for the opportunity, mainly because I'm thinking about the people that will come after me in this organization, the people who will replace me, the people who want to come in and be a part of this organization and elevate the role of executive admins.
Hmm. That's great. So, you know, speaking of the organization, did you, you know, Harvard Business Publishing, you know, Harvard is obviously a well-known brand or well-known name. And mm-hmm. did you experience any nerves or anxiety, you know, working?
Oh, yes. Let's talk about it.
Yeah. That's good. Working for a brand like Harvard.
Yes. So I would say, you know, initially, no, I was really excited about the brand because I was excited about the product. Right. And then I think maybe the first week, I remember driving in and it started to hit me and it just felt like a weight, like this progressive weight, like, oh my God, can I do this? And ironically enough, I got a text from a friend who heard that I got this job. And in the text, she said, listen, I don't know how you're feeling, but I want you to know if you got the job, it's because you have what they need in that space. So don't let the brand, don't let the name intimidate you. Show up and give them who you are. That little text changed everything. I'm sure I cried a lot of tears in that moment of gratitude. The anxiety started to feel so oppressive because there is this expectation and this standard, oh my God, it's Harvard. Like, ooh, am I going to be able to do what they expect? I didn't go to Harvard. I went to Emerson. Like, I'm a comms disorders major and I love music and art and I'm not an academic. So, but she was right. She was absolutely right. What I bring to that space is not what they've had and it is everything that they've needed. So, you know, I'm hoping that people who are listening to this experience feel the same way if they come into brands or they're interested in big brands, you know, not to be intimidated by the logo, like jump in there, show them what you've got, and let your skills have the opportunity to prove themselves.
That's great. Talk about a timely, timely supportive text from a friend. That's awesome.
My gosh.
Awesome. Well, Concetta, thank you so much for being on the show. If there was something that you could put on a billboard for, let's say there was a highway where it was bumper to bumper to traffic of assistants every morning going to work at the same highway. It was like the assistant 101 or something. And there was a billboard that every assistant saw. What would you want that billboard to say?
I would say, love is in the details, and remember to love yourself today.
Love it. We'll order the billboard now. That sounds great.
Let's go.
Let's do it. Well, what can people, or where can people reach out and say hi? And what's the best way to reach out, if that's okay for them to say hi and reach out?
Yeah, I'd love for people to say hi. I can be found on LinkedIn, Conchetta Green. I can also be found on Instagram at Conchetta_Green.
Awesome. Well, I'll put those links in the show notes at leaderassistant.com/238. Leaderassistant.com/238. Conchetta, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate your insight and your story, and just keep leading well. And we'll hopefully hang out in Boston. And I'm not a lobster fan, but you can have some lobster and I'll have something else.
We'll get you a sandwich.
There you go. There you go. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeremy. This was great.
Please review on Apple Podcasts. GoBullos.com.